Hello, this is Dee Roberts Keenan talking to you with Smart TV today about the deadly sin of wrath. We're talking sports night here. This is the Passover episode. This entire episode is really about rage, about anger, about people being hurt and upset and frustrated with one another for what they've done. We open in the office of Isaac, played by Robert Guillaume, brilliantly. And they're talking about, you know, taking money away. They're talking about getting rid of the Olympic coverage that they, you know, really pride themselves on. And this is a function of sort of this professional rage that we're seeing here with Felicity Huffman as Dana. You know, she's at a standstill. She's coming up against a brick wall. She doesn't know how to proceed. And often when we talk about wrath, when we talk about anger, when we talk about rage, this is a sin that is born almost blindly. It's something that comes without bidding. It's something that seems to sneak up on people in a very real way. It often is a sin that is almost unintentionally committed when you find yourself, when one finds oneself, unable to deal with the facts of your very existence. And this is something actually that is, you know, sort of biblical in origin, this concept of wrath. And it's very fitting that we are talking today about Passover, which is from, you know, from the Jewish tradition recounted in Exodus about Moses freeing the Hebrews, but there's more to it than that. The thrust of this story in Exodus, of this Passover story, has always been that, you know, that you see it over and over again if you sit down to read it, you know, and then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, the Hebrews, the Israelites, would beg to be set free, and Pharaoh always would find fault. He would be so unable to control what was going on that he simply became angrier and angrier. And the angrier he got, the more he tried to clutch and grab and hold on to this world of his to have some sort of semblance of control. This is how sin sort of sneaks up on you. This is how wrath, anger, rage, ire, you know, whatever you want to call it, this is how it attacks you. This is how it becomes a problem. If you don't watch Sports Night regularly, then, you know, there's almost no helping you. This is a show that is very plotty. It's very sort of driven episode to episode. There's a whole through line. There's huge story arcs. And this episode is really tying up a lot of loose ends because, frankly, they knew they were about to be canceled when this was made. They wanted to find a way to go out in a high point. And so, of course, we've got this whole mess of, you know, the network is not doing well, and they're losing money, and people might have to be fired, and this is all sort of getting us, the viewer, you know, used to what's going to happen here in the next few episodes as the series runs down, which is a pity because this show, I mean, is so perfectly Aaron Sorkin, and, you know, that made me mad, you know, as a viewer, as a very, you know, as a very avid viewer of this program. It made me mad when it was canceled. The wonderful thing is that the entire series has been attracted, you know, has attracted a huge audience on DVD. And I'm assuming that if you're taking the time to listen to this, you have the DVDs and you've seen them many, many times. And so you know that in the last episode that, you know, Casey and Dan had a huge sort of on-air incident. You know, that everyone is pretty much pissed at Dan because he broke this sort of unspoken covenant and, you know, dared to question what was going on, you know, why it was important that they were doing what they were doing. Dan reached that sort of place in much the same way that, you know, these other characters are reaching their anger. He was frustrated. He was stuck up against a wall. He was selfish and wounded and hurt. He lashed out. And he lashed out inappropriately. And that's what anger, that's really what wrath does to you. That's really the harm in wrath, is that it will overtake you, is that it will change you in a way that you do not even realize that you are being changed. You become someone else. And you become this other, you become this other person who is distant from, who is not the same as the person that you are supposed to be. And that, I think, is really at the crux of why wrath, why anger would be included on this list of seven deadly sins. For the very reason that even though it is a normal emotion, that everyone experiences this emotion, that if you allow this emotion to overtake you, you become something else. You become someone who turns away from what you know is right. You become someone who is selfish. You become someone who is sadistic. You become someone who is less than, who is less than, and I'll say it one more time, who is less than the person that you normally are. There's a lot of people in this cast who have this sort of very rapid-fire dialogue back and forth, and it often seems as though they're fighting. Natalie and Jeremy have a great relationship like this, where even when they were dating, it was the barbs, and it was the insults being traded back and forth, and it was this quick, rapid-fire patter. And it's easy to mistake that for real anger. It's easy to mistake this for wrath. But what they're doing here is not so much based in anger as based in frustration. And they're not so much being cruel to one another as they are trying to understand why they are still so emotionally invested in each other. And there's this whole undercurrent of love. And it's this very weird and it's this very fucked up love, but it's there, you know. The same thing could be said for Dan and Casey, you know, and we have this subplot with Dan and Casey, and, you know, Casey's mad at Dan, and everyone's mad at Dan, but Casey is really sort of crippled by his inability to express anger, which, you know, I have a feeling very many theologians would disagree with me, but I think for Casey, he needs to allow himself this luxury. He needs to allow himself this sin. He needs to let himself be angry. And he's not, he's so impotent in his frustration and in his rage that he is really unable to function. And we see this where we have this bizarre, awkward conversation coming up with him and Dan in the hall. He's not really able to, I mean, he can't make a list of his 10 favorite films, which is, I mean, you know, this is an idiotic project that he's trying to work on, but, I mean, he's become, his frustration has crippled him instead of allowing him to, you know, get angry and, you know, let it all, you know, come to a boil and then just get over it. Instead, he's just, I mean, he's unable to function, really. I mean, and here, as I said, we have this very bizarre, very awkward moment in the hall. Neither of them wants to say anything. Neither of them really wants to address what's going on here. And there's no apology here, which would probably go a long way. But Dan is trying to reach out, and at this point, he, you know, Dan is trying to be the bigger person. Except, I mean, you know, what he did, I mean, you know, this huge on-air, you know, sort of gaffe that he made in the very previous episode, which I suggest you watch if you haven't seen it in a while. It's actually a two-parter, so watch the two before this one and then watch this one. But, yeah, what do you do? What do you do? It's frustrating. It's hard to be the bigger person when someone is mad at you. And when they have very good reason to be mad at you and you just want things to go back the way they were. But as I said, Casey isn't being mad in a productive way. He's not, you know, he's not confronting anything. He's just sort of letting it seethe and ripple. And it's becoming something that is just, you know, sort of eating him out from the inside. And this is perhaps another function of what wrath will do to you. It's a sin, you know, if we want to talk from a theological sense, it's a sin in that it will cause you to do, you know, it will cause you to commit further sin, you know, while trying to rid this one from your body. And there's, you know, people, when they are angry, they, you know, insert your favorite joke about postal workers right here, you know, disgruntled so-and-so, you know, shoots up a fill-in-the-blank. That one sin can do this is something we discussed when we talked about pride, and we talked about pride being the gateway sin. And here we see that with anger, you know, it's along a similar vein, although anger is a much more self-destructive sin. You know, we see these people who are closing themselves off to their community, closing themselves off to their friends. We see these people who are beating themselves up, you know, I mean, acting out in ridiculous ways. And they can't quite cope. You know, it's difficult to wrap your head around and think, when was the last time I was so angry that I couldn't function, that I couldn't go to work and do what I was supposed to be doing? You know, when's the last time that I was so angry that it lost me a friend? When's the last time that it was so angry that it turned me away from, you know, fill in the name of your higher power here? I love that Aaron Sorkin, who, if I remember correctly, is full-on Irish Catholic. I love that he spends so much time with people of different faiths. In his show The West Wing, he's talked about Muslims, he's talked about, you know, fundamentalist Christians in a not threatening way, he's talked about, you know, Catholics, he's talked about Jews. Here he really, this is an episode that really is a positive portrayal of the Jewish faith on television, which is something you do not see very often. We have a very endearing portrait of the Jews on this show. We find them that, you know, even though they don't, you know, they're not exceedingly religious, that they do have this faith, they do have this culture, they do have this tradition. This episode really shows, you know, that it's okay to be sort of hip and faithful at the same time, that it's okay to be, you know, it's okay to be a little kooky about it, and it's okay to share your beliefs and your values and your feelings about God with your friends, with your coworkers. It's something you really don't see a lot. And when you do, it's like a Christmas episode. And I love that this is a Passover episode, that we're going to see these angry people, we're going to see sort of the power of this Passover spirit sort of fill them up and get rid of this, or at least lessen this feeling of rage and frustration that they're, most of them are carrying around. At least most of our main characters. We've got, you know, these peripheral characters that are sort of in every episode, but they're not really fully fleshed out. And I realize that that is just because, you know, it's a half-hour show and we've got to focus on limited number of characters. And sure, in later seasons, I'm sure that the, you know, that the Kims and Elliots and Wills and blah, blah, blah would have all been, you know, sort of a little bit more interesting, but, you know, they're not uninteresting characters, but they're just sort of ciphers. We just don't really know too much about them other than the punchlines that they're allowed to deliver every once in a while. Yeah. It's episodic television. It happens. Felicity Huffman, man, oh man, you know, I just have to say, I just watched the Oscars. They were just on, you know, couple days before I'm recording this commentary, and Felicity Huffman, of course, was nominated for her magnificent tour de force performance in Transamerica, where she plays sort of, you know, she plays a man who's about to become a woman. And I love her in that movie. I love her in Desperate Housewives, which I've also commented on when we talked about Pride. Felicity Huffman, of course, was in that. And I love that, you know, here she's the sort of very masculine woman in that she has all these traits that are normally ascribed to men. But at the same time, she is so feminine and she is so wonderfully a woman. And I love that in Transamerica that she was able to come up with this completely different character who is so completely and bizarrely like hyper feminine, but at the same time, there was this undercurrent of masculinity. And it's just, I think Felicity Huffman is a phenomenal, phenomenal actress. I really respect her work in this show, throughout the show, and I really respect her work as an actress just in general. Anyway, sidebar aside, we're coming back. We see, you know, we see Dana and we see Natalie, and we understand, we the viewer, you know, understand that this is big, this is huge, this is, you know, this is horrible. We also see that Aaron Sorkin likes to recycle dialogue. There was a comment made about his upcoming series, Studio 67 or Studio 72, or I don't remember what it's called. It's sort of an SNL behind the scenes type sitcom. And he was accused of reusing the line, "I hate his breathing guts," which we just saw him use here with Natalie, which we know he used in The West Wing, which I seem to vaguely recall from Malice, but I might be misremembering that. You know, I mean, and then again, he uses it. Apparently, he just really likes the line. You know, I think it's kind of a, I take it or leave it, but it's on the delivery. Anyway. Now we see that Natalie is able to forgive Jeremy and able to rise above her anger because she is able to pity him. You know, whatever it takes you to get there. She's over her wrath right now. Jeremy and Natalie, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pairing. And not just when they were together, but when they were not together. Because, as I mentioned before, they have this rapid-fire sort of, you know, insulting way of speaking to one another that's really endearing, and it's really funny. And it really, you know, it really is like two people who've been just married forever, and they just bicker back and forth, and, you know, that's what they all do. I also love that Isaac is made Moses, just because, you know, what better? I mean, you know, really, who better, you know, to cast as this person who, you know, is this leader, is this, you know, is this guide, is this ticket out of, you know, sort of bondage and into a better life than, I mean, you know, than Isaac, than this guy who survives a stroke in real life and comes back and acts for three quarters of a season? I mean, you know, I mean, hello. It's phenomenal. It's incredible. It's something that, you know, it's just not done. Robert Guillaume is an amazing, amazing actor, and he has been for years. I'm going to stop gushing here. This is what happens when I start watching Sports Night, is that I sit down and I get lost in the quality of the performances and the quality of the writing. And, you know, Sports Night's fans, we like to joke about, you know, certain little sniggly things, and, you know, we laugh about, you know, certain casting choices, and, you know, we think it's kind of funny that, you know, William H. Macy and Felicity Huffman sort of had this weird, uncomfortable, zero chemistry romance on screen when they're married in real life, and we laugh and we joke, but we love this show. This is a show people get fanatical about. This is a show that people, you know, people really care about these characters. And right here, as Dan is sort of moving beyond anger and moving beyond his hurt and moving beyond his frustration, he's no longer paralyzed. He's no longer suffocated. He's no longer, you know, he's no longer made impotent. And we love that. And we identify so much with him. You know, we so want them to be friends. We so want everything to succeed. You know, this is, It's an amazing experience. And, you know, here we've got these characters who started out at the beginning being frustrated and being irritated and being angry and being hurt. And we see what happens with this influence of this simple meal and this story being told, you know, this great story being told to people who haven't heard it before, you know, as Jeremy put it. And we see what a wonderful influence this has on them and on their lives. And we see that just as there are many ways to sin, that there are many ways to overcome that, that there are many ways to sort of move past, move beyond, you know, so many ways to deal with that, many ways to atone, many ways to reconcile. And it's all wrapped up in 22 minutes, you know? This is amazingly tight writing. And, you know, I've mentioned before that we don't often see religion being portrayed in a very positive light. We especially don't see non-Christian religions being portrayed in a very positive light here. And, you know, here, I mean, really, honestly, how wonderful. You know, how wonderful to end with a prayer. This has been D. Roberts Keenan again for Smart TV. I hope you've enjoyed this commentary. I thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time as we talk about greed. Thanks.